Greetings and welcome back to Vayikra, the podcast series in which we examine components of the Parashot and Sefer Vayikra, five per week. In the previous podcast, I opened up with an examination, with an overview of Parashat Tzav, and then an examination of the special parasha in Perek Vav, Pesukim Yod Bet through Tet Zayin, of the Korban Aharon. We asked a few questions about it, and now I'd like to address this Korban and get a grander understanding, if you will, a more panoramic understanding of this Korban and where it fits within the whole world of Korbanot, as it were, and perhaps that to be able to answer the questions that were raised. The phrase Ze Korban Aharon V'Avon, we're going to walk through step by step and see the parsha. The phrase Ze Korban Aharon V'Avon is itself a little bit odd, because after all, we've had Korban HaOlah, Korban HaMincha, Torat HaOlah, Torat HaMincha, that the Kohanim are going to be officiating at. Why does it say Ze Korban Aharon Uvanavan? Ze sounds like an exclusive phrase, meaning this and only this. This is the one that's Shal Aharon Uvanav. So I'd like to go back to what I suggested in the previous series in Parshat Vayikra, that the nature of what we call the Korban Olah, or more properly, the Korban, is not that given a person's wealth and ability and level of generosity and charity and devotion, he expends more money on an ox or less money on a goat, etc., but rather the command is to bring that which is most vital to you. So a farmer will bring an ox, and a shepherd will bring a goat or a sheep, etc. And then a person who's not a landowner is going to bring grain. And that's not an Adam, but that's rather a Nefesh. An Adam being a landowner, what we refer to in Tanakh as an Am Haaretz, as opposed to a Nefesh, any individual, because we all eat, and so therefore the grain is that offering. Now, what do the Kohanim own? The Kohanim are not farmers. The Kohanim are not shepherds. The Kohanim may have places they live in the Arei HaLeviim, they certainly do, but they don't own land and don't participate in the agricultural development of the country. And therefore, what is it that they have? They have grain. However, here's the problem, and it's something that the Ramban quotes here from the Mor Nevuchim, as to why it is that Minchat Kohen is not eaten. Why is Minchat Kohen not eaten? Because after all, a regular mincha is eaten by the Kohanim. But if a Kohen brings a Korban and offers just a representative, symbolic amount on the Mizbeach, which is a Kometz and the Levona, and then eats the rest, it's as if there were no Korban at all. Now that's a strange comment for the Rambam to make, because that's exactly what happens with the Shlamim. You bring a Korban Shlamim, and the dam goes on the Mizbeach, the chalev that you're not allowed to eat anyways goes on the Mizbeach, you give part of it to the Kohanim as their due, and then you eat the rest. So why is that considered a Korban? So we have to go back to what we said last week, is that the Shlamim is a whole different experience. The Shlamim is an experience of, I want to celebrate with God, I want to eat meat, I want to have a barbecue with the family, and therefore I have to do it as a Korban Shlamim. It's a shared event. However, a korban, properly, of a person bringing himself close to God, is effectively the olah. Remember that from the perspective of Yisrael, the grain offering is as much as an olah as an animal offering, in that he gets no benefit from it. He doesn't see any of it. And it all goes to God. God decides to give something to the Kohanim or not. That's a separate issue. It doesn't affect him. But as a Kohen, that's going to have a tremendous effect. Because if the one thing that a Kohen can bring, because he doesn't own land and he's not a farmer, the one thing that he can bring as an olah, as it were, as his own offering, is grain, and then he ends up eating all the grain, there's no experience of korban. And so therefore we understand why minchat Kohen can't be eaten. But again, why is that particular law mentioned here? And the answer is as follows. Ze korban aharon uvanav asher yakrivu l'Adonai. This is the Korban that Aharon or his children will bring, meaning Kohanim, as a group. This is the Korban that they bring. Now, it could be left as a voluntary Korban, as we had with the others. A person wants to bring an ola. A farmer wants to bring an ox. A shepherd wants to bring sheep. That's fine. What's different here is that Aharon uvanav are commanded to bring such a korban. But let's see when and let's see why. So let's start with this. B'yom himashachoto. And there's something powerful about that word. On the day that he is anointed. Now the use of the singular here indicates that every Kohen is going to bring this offering. When is he going to bring it? B'yom himashachoto. And there are two ways to read this. And I think it's deliberately ambiguous to allow both readings. One reading is B'yom himashachoto, on the day on which he is anointed, which means it's only going to be brought once. And then it would apply to Aharon uvanav as a distributed statement, meaning Aharon and his sons will each bring it on the day that each one is anointed. Okay, and Aharon uvanav, as the Malbim points out here, means the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot. So therefore, every Kohen on the day that he is anointed is going to bring it. But as the Ibn Ezra suggests, B'yom Himashachoto could also be read as Miyom Himashachoto, meaning from the day he's anointed on, this is what he's going to bring. And what drives that read? The fact that later in the Pasuk it says Tamid. So the Pasuk deliberately is mixing a one-time event with a constant event in order to say as follows, on the day in which any Kohen is anointed, this is the Korban that he must bring. Unlike an Olat Nedava, which is brought whenever the person feels that they want to come close, here the Kohen must bring it. Why must the Kohen bring it? Because he is already coming close. He's coming close as a representative, as an officiant, on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. And there is an inherent danger in there, which is something that we see throughout history, where the priests of the cult, as they call it, the Kohanim Mitzrayim, Kohanim of other religions have an elitist sense, have a superiority sense, are in positions of great power, and where they abuse that power over the rest of the people. The Kohanim must understand that they are there as Shluchei Derachmana and Shluchei Didan, as the agents of God to effect Kapara for us, and as our agents to bring our Korban up. And in order to do that, the first thing that a Kohen must do when he is anointed, every Kohen, is to bring his own Ola, as it were. Not voluntary, but obligatory. And what does he bring? He can't bring the fancy ox because he doesn't have land. He brings, like a nefesh, he brings a grain offering. And he brings a very small grain offering, 1/10 of an ephah. And not only that, but he breaks it in two. And the halacha is very clear. That had it said, machatzipa boker machatzipa erev, the Gemara Menachot says, he would have then brought a half an isaron in the morning, and half an isaron in the afternoon, but rather what does he bring? He has to bring a full isaron and break it in half. And here we're reminded of the lechemoni, we're reminded of the prusa, of the broken piece of the poor man. So the Kohen here is not demonstrating wealth and extravagance, but rather humility and poverty in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he is sum total an agent of Kapara on behalf of Bnei Israel. And that's something that every Kohen must do on the first day that he's initiated in, which is why this is referred to as a Minchat Chinuch. Conversely, the Kohen Gadol, which is why there's a mention of Aharon and B'yom Mashach Oto in the singular, alluding to the fact that Aharon is going to do this on a different time frame, and that's where the word Tamid comes in. The Kohen Gadol has to do this every day, because the Kohen Gadol is the one who's sitting in the biggest position of danger of forgetting humility and forgetting his position and forgetting that his job is to serve Am Yisrael, not to lord over Am Yisrael. And therefore, it's constructed as a humbling experience in which, of course, he's going to eat none of it. The entire grain, the little bit that he has, goes up to the Mizbeach. Amachavat b'shemen te'aseh, there's a little bit of a hint there, that you put it with oil, and after all, this is the day that he was anointed with oil. And murbechet to Vienna, it's going to be made soft, as the Rashbam says, tufineh. The Rashbam here says tufineh, imagine a missing aleph. as if ta'afine, meaning afui. So it's baked, as minchat pitim is little breads, and it's a reach nichoach. That little humble offering will be a reach nichoach. And now, in order that you do not think that this is something only given to Aharon uvanav, meaning that it's part of the inauguration of the kuhuna, which we're going to read about at the end of Parshat Tzav, we're told, HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav Banav Yaseh Ota, which tells us that Banav in Pasuk Yod Gimel is not Kohen Gadol. Banav is Kohen Edyot. And now we're told, when one of his sons takes over, as he does, Yaseh Ota Chok Olam, meaning it's going to go on forever. It's not part of the inauguration of the kuhuna. It's part of the job of the Kohen Gadol every day. Chok Olam Ladonai Kalil Toktar, and it's totally burnt up. That's why here we're given the mitzvah, Chok Minchat Kohen Kalil Tiyah Lo Teachel. Because here is where the Kohen is obligated to offer that which the rest of us only bring voluntarily. And every Kohen brings it on the first day that he's inaugurated. The Kohen Gadol has to bring it on every day to remind him of his own position and his position within the nation, and that he's giving that which he has. There is one other component to look at here. Machzita b'boker, machzita b'arav, means that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen, each Kohen Edyot on his first day, is going to be paralleling the Korban Tamid, which is brought by Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael brings a lamb in the morning and a lamb in the afternoon, and the Kohen Gadol brings a little bit of grain in the morning, a little bit of grain in the afternoon to parallel that. It's an act of Tamid, in which the Kohen Gadol is sort of a shadow to the nation. We have the lamb, of course, which has its own mincha with it, and this mincha that comes along with it. So hopefully we've got a better understanding of this particular Korban. We're going to look into some further aspects in Parshat Tzav in the later podcast. Mintora should have a wonderful day.